John chapter 4. And, you know, after the fireworks last night, Brother Matt invited us over to blow some things up. And after the fireworks last night, I feel like the little boy Trevor, who was in class, he was in nursery school or whatever you call it, and his teacher, Miss Pelham, as the fourth approach, you know, she took the opportunity to tell the class about patriotism. She says, you know, we live in a great country. One of the things we should be happy about is that in our country, we are all free. Little Trevor, he came walking up to the front from the back of the room. He stood with his hands on his hips and says, I'm not free, I'm for. Anyway, after all the fireworks, my hearing's a little the same way. On a more serious note, did you realize that every one of the state constitutions of our great union acknowledge God? Did you know that? In Alabama, it says, we the people of the state of Alabama, invoking the favor and guidance of Almighty God, do ordain and establish the following constitution. Alaska says, we the people of Alaska, grateful to God and to those who founded our nation and pioneered this great land. California, surprisingly, says, we the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom. Hawaii says, we the people of Hawaii, grateful for divine guidance, establish this constitution for the state of Hawaii. Idaho says, we the people of the state of Idaho, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom to secure its blessings and to promote our common welfare, to establish this constitution. Now I'm from Illinois. Illinois says, you think if anybody didn't have it, it'd be Illinois. Illinois says, we the people of the state of Illinois, grateful to Almighty God for the civil, political, and religious liberty which he has permitted us to enjoy, and seeking his blessing upon our endeavors, do ordain and establish this constitution for the state of Illinois. Oregon, which another state I wouldn't think, no. I give Sister Amanda a hard time. She's from Oregon. Oregon says, all men shall be secure in their natural right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their consciences. Washington, last but not least, and I could read all of them, but Washington says, we the people of the state of Washington, grateful to the supreme ruler of the universe for our liberties, do ordain this constitution. And, you know, I preached on the idea of racism and the fact that we're one blood, but make no mistake, there is a concentrated effort to destroy our heritage and our history. People who do not believe in God believe in the theory of chaos. That, right? From chaos came order. Study it. You ever wondered why there's so much chaos? Why they seek to create chaos? Because they think, as off as it seems, they think that from the chaos will come what? Order. And sure.
Was slavery wrong?
Yes. But they're taking an issue which, yes, we should repent of. And we should say, you know, that we shouldn't have done that. And you know what? Hundreds of thousands of men died and gave their lives over the issue of slavery. Right. Don't forget that.
Yes.
No other nation fought a civil war.
Right.
You say, well, why are you political? I thought you were 501c3. By the way, we're not. We used to be. Our church was founded as a 501c3. We got rid of that.
Amen.
Because I'm not going to be told by the government what to say. Amen. Or preach. I don't like politics. It's not political. It's the truth.
Amen.
I'm not going to stand up here and tell you who support for governor, president, whatever. But I'm going to tell you the truth. The truth is that they seek to remove, as the Bible instructed the Israelites, they seek to remove the ancient landmarks, the things of old. Spoke of the blessings of God and the things that God did. And we ought to do our part. I'll tell you, if there's one thing you can do for our nation, if you have a family, raise them for God. But, you know, there's going to come a time, I believe, that we're going to have to stand.
Right.
And in California, they banned singing in churches. Did you realize that happened this week? No problem with the protests. Everybody in everybody's face screaming. But the band's, there's no mistake in that. And there's going to come a time where you and I are going to have to stand for Christ.
Amen.
It's here. I've been saying for 14 years it's coming. My friend, it's here. And you're going to be required to walk by faith. Well, the governor said we can't, shouldn't go to church. Whatever you do, do by faith. If by faith God wants you to stay home and you could say this is God's will, then do it. I'll never criticize a person who's wanting to do the will of God. Some of you have come to that place. But you know what? Don't stay home because you're fearful. Don't stay home, right? Well, the governor said. What does God say? And we come to our text. In John chapter 4, we're confronted, and we're going to finish the story that we started last week of the woman at the well. But we're presented with the great need of the age. And that is the conversion of lost souls. We know the purpose of the book of John is found in John chapter 20, and we're going to start memorizing this scripture. We're going to kick off in the next coming weeks a memorization program. We're going to pick out one, maybe two verses a month. We're going to work on it. We're going to memorize scripture together. And you say, oh, Pastor, I can't. Try. All right? John 20, verse 31, the Bible says, but these are written, the words contained in the Gospel of John, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. The book of John was given to us so that we might know and we might be persuaded that Jesus Christ is not just a great teacher, not just a miracle worker, but the very Son of God. He's not the brother of Satan, as the Mormons would teach you. They do teach that. You know that, right? That Jesus and Satan were both spirit babies, born of the same father. That's unscriptural. Not as the Jehovah's Witnesses that teach that Jesus was a lesser God, as indicated in John. In their version of John chapter 1, in the beginning was God, and the beginning was, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, they say, a God, little g. Our Bible says, and the Word was, capital G, God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The second purpose of the book of John is that you might believe and have life through His name. You don't believe on Him and have life through His name. We look at our text in John chapter 4, and I'm just going to read very quickly what we're going to go through this morning. John chapter 4, starting in verse number 27, the Bible says, and upon this came His disciples, and marveled that He talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto Him. In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. And He said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore the disciples said one to another, hath any man brought Him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans, verse 39, of that city believed on Him. For the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were coming to Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them, and He abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Father, thank You for bringing us together this morning. What a blessing it is to gather around Your Word. I want, Lord, and I ask, I request that the preaching today would certainly be filled with your Holy Spirit, that he would move among us and in our hearts. If there's anyone today, Father, that's sitting here, is uncertain, is not 100% certain, that would they stand before your throne on that day of judgment, that you'll say to them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in." But are fearful that they might hear those dreadful words in which you say, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you." I pray today would be the day of their salvation. They would not put it off any longer. They would not, Lord, they would shed the excuses. They would put aside the pride that's keeping them from admitting these things. And they would repent and put faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask as Christians that our hearts would be stirred in this matter of souls. Lord, we are not helpless. There is an answer. And the answer is that we need revival. And we need to reach our community with the gospel. I ask that you'd bless this time together as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The key verse in our passage this morning is verse 42. Look at it if you would with me. Verse 42, and he said unto the woman, the Samaritan, said unto the woman, "Now we believe not because of this saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Now, if you were with us last week, you know that it's quite unusual, and God in his wisdom brought Jesus Christ to Samaria and created this situation, right? Providentially ordained this situation where Jesus, wearied, sits at a well about noon, and out comes this woman, this immoral, right? Had been married 5 times, living with a man that's not her husband, had been the cause of many homes breaking up, just her and men, both her and the men, not just her, her and the men acting in a way that was unscriptural and ungodly. Here she is, an outcast, going out at the hottest part of the day to draw water because they were. She was an outcast in that community, and Jesus here at Samaria, and we look how the Bible says that he must what? Needs go, verse 4, through Samaria. A lot of people say, well, it's because it was the shortest route from Judea to Galilee, and that's certainly true. But it was often the case was what? They would actually, Jews would bypass Samaria because they were a very prejudiced people. If you remember, the Samaritans were the result of Jewish people being left during the captivity, right? When they were taken to Babylon and intermarrying with the people of the land. And so creating a sort of a half-breed, half-Jewish race. And the whole Jewish nation, most of the Jewish nation, the overall idea was there was a hatred and they despised the Samaritans. They looked at them as the lowest of the low, even lower than Gentiles because of their impurities and the mixed nature of their heritage. But God is making clear, and through the Lord Jesus Christ is establishing this truth. That he is what? Verse 42. He is the Savior of what? The world. In chapter 3, verses that you probably memorized when you were young, in verse 15, that whosoever, the key word, operative word, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 16, for God so loved the what? World, not the Jewish nation or the Israelites, that he gave his only begotten Son, that Israelites who believe in him. No, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't it amazing that God, in he uses, his wisdom is used to confound, right, the wise of this world. He delights in revealing himself to the most unlikely sorts of folks. When he came and announced the birth of Jesus Christ, did he go to the Jerusalem Times? Did he come to Herod's right-hand man, to Herod himself, and say, "Listen, Jesus is here. My son has arrived"? No, he appeared in the sky with 10,000 angels to who?
the shepherds. Of all the occupations, one of the most mocked and scorned, I mean, to be a shepherd. And Jesus certainly, he came in John chapter 2, he cleansed the temple, he revealed himself to be God. Many believed, but he would not commit himself. They were just simply looking for the miracles. He then, in chapter 3, we got Nicodemus coming to him at night, and he basically says, Nicodemus, you can't do anything to be born again, right? You must be born again. There's nothing you can do to get to heaven. It has to be of God. But I don't think it's a mistake, and it goes beyond just the woman at the well, but Jesus here in Samaria doing what? Revealing himself to be the what? To these Samaritans, and from their own mouth, what? The Savior of the world. This is the third time that the Bible declares Jesus to be the Son of God, the Savior. In John chapter 1, we see the testimony of John the Apostle under the inspiration of God. John 1:9 says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that what? Cometh into the world. John speaks of who he is. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist declares him to be what? The Lamb of God in verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. He points his own disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here now in John chapter 4, he's declared again by these Samaritans to be what? The Savior of the world. They knew it. They understood it. They recognized it. There's a few things I want to give you before we get into our outline. Number one, he is not the Savior of Israel, but the world. The world. If he had revealed himself to the Jewish nation, as he did here to the Samaritans, they would have been content to say that he was the Savior of Israel. Because that's what they were looking for. They were looking for the Messiah to come in and throw off the shackles and the right of the Romans and to establish a new Jewish kingdom to sit upon the throne of his father David. They didn't realize that he had come to establish a spiritual kingdom, one, right, created in man's hearts, one available to all. He's the Savior of the world. He's not only the Savior of the world, but he saves the world from the world. He's going to redeem the world from the world's system. He's going to redeem creation from the sin, the curse of sin. But thirdly, there's another truth that I see here. He is what? Not just the Savior of the world in redeeming the world from sin. He is there is only one Savior. And I know that's not politically correct. I know that we're supposed to be like Joel Osteen as he sits there on Larry King and is asked, is Jesus the only way to heaven? And he responds, I believe there are many ways to heaven. False teacher alert. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. If anyone's enter in, they must enter in by me. It's not popular and it's not inclusive and it's not diverse, but it's the truth. He's the way. He's the truth, and he's the life. He is, as the Samaritans declared it, the Savior of the world. The Christ, the Savior of the world. And throughout John chapter 4, there are a number of things that point to his deity. Of course, the purpose of the book of John is to prove that he is the Son of God. You see it in his providence, don't you? You see that God brought him to that well, knew, right, that there was a woman going to be showing up at noon that day. You see it in his priority. What was he focused on? He's focused on on souls, amen, the work of God. Amen. He says in verse what? Verse number 32, he says, I said, eat, master, eat, they said. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He says, there's something greater going on here, guys. Right. Thirdly, he was prophetic. He knew the heart of this woman. He knew her secrets. When he said to her, go call your husband, her response was, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right about that. You've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. That got her attention, didn't it? But praise God, it didn't leave with the woman storming away, upset that she was called out on her sin. But rather, it ends with what? Her responding in faith. If you remember from last week, when Jesus calls her sin out. And by the way, with salvation, we must present the gift of God, but we have to deal with people's sins. The modern gospel today has weakened that, even removed it, so gone so far as to remove repentance. I've had people say, Pastor, why do you use the old King James Bible? I've got friends, breaks my heart. Friends, I went to Bible college. Think about that, Sister Christine. You went to church where I went to school. They're changing their Bibles. Well, it's just too tough for people to understand. And yet what's taking place in a lot of these other, things that are different can't be the same. How about we go and we translate the Constitution or Declaration of Independence?
It's coming.
It might. People will be in an uproar.
Oh, you can't change those documents.
Right? People don't have a problem with changing their Bible around.
That's right.
Hey, man, things are different, not the same. How can a book say two different things and yet be the Word of God? Which is it?
Come on.
I believe that God in His providence, and I know this isn't popular, God in His providence, God in His sovereignty, has provided to us, the English-speaking people, a perfect, preserved, inspired Word of God. And I do not apologize for that.
Come on. Come on.
What's taken place? Well, they've dumbed it down. They've weakened it. Most of the modern versions remove most of the repentance from the book. Why? Because what is Satan's goal? If he could water down the gospel, if he came to you and said, man, worship me, he would reject him. Most Americans would reject him. But if he comes to Americans and says, yeah, you want a heaven? No, I'll give you heaven. Just pray the prayer. Not dealing with their sin, not bringing them to a place of repentance, not coming to a change of mind and heart about your sin, about your false religion, about your efforts on your own to get to heaven, and to realize, you know what, that's wrong. This woman responds. She says, verse 19, one of the best phrases in the Bible. She's like, I perceive that thou art a prophet. He just got done telling her her whole life story. Yeah, you think? You know, one of those understated things. I giggle every time I read that. And then she says, what do I do? She says, you're right, I'm wrong. And a lot of people take verse 20 as she's trying to change the subject. I don't think so. I think she's saying, you know what? Well, I've tried. Right? Because in verse 20, she says, our father worshipped in this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Where should I worship? I think she's tried. I think she's guilty. I think she knows she's wrong. And she's gone and she's tried through her religion to gain peace with God, to remove God's wrath from her life. And so she's asking Jesus, what do I do? Jesus says, if you're going to worship God, you got to worship Him. He's a spirit. You got to worship Him in spirit and truth. There's going to come a day, it's not going to matter where the temple is. She says, you know, I know. She says, I know that Messiah cometh. Right? Verse 25, which is called Christ. When He has come, He will tell us all things. She knows. She says, I know there's this upcoming event that Christ is coming, the Savior is coming. And Jesus reveals Himself to her and says, I that speak unto thee am He. Now, I believe we see this woman come to a place of salvation and there is fruit and we see the fruit of conversion. And I want to give you that today. I'll tell you, the greatest thing you could do for our nation today, listen to me, Christians. Yeah, you could vote, which you ought to. You could involve yourself in politics, which do that if you feel that's what you should do. You go and stand and go and write, maybe, I don't know, create memes and put them on Facebook. But we have the truth. The greatest thing you can do, Brother Matt, for our nation, and I'm going to say something controversial. You ready? Ready? Here we go.
I appreciate your service. Brother Robert, I appreciate your service. Barry, I appreciate your service. Everyone here that served in the military, I appreciate your service. But if you're a Christian today, you have a greater task. You've been called to a greater work.
Amen.
We don't worship military here.
No.
I appreciate our military. I love our military. I got four sons. The likelihood of one of them making it in the military is pretty high. But I'll tell you this, and I love you.
Amen.
You and I got a greater calling.
Amen.
We're soldiers of the Almighty God.
Amen.
We got a message to bring to the masses, which is what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not diminishing, Brother Robert, the years you spent on that boat in the Navy. It's not a boat, right? It's a ship. I call it a boat. It's not a boat, Pastor. It's a ship. I appreciate the years, Brother Matt, you spent eating crowns as a Marine. I'm teasing. Brother Barry, I appreciate the years you spent in the Air Force flying jet fighters. I do, but brothers, listen. We got a greater calling. You serve a different commander, and it's a calling to go and to share the gospel with the lost. And I want to show you this morning very quickly, what are the fruits of conversion? We live in an age where people just claim the name of Christ and speak of how they're saved, but nothing ever changes. It's present in our churches. People come forward, they make a decision, but nothing ever changes. I'll tell you this, there will be fruit.
Amen.
It will be obvious.
Amen.
And I'm not, I've had people say, well, Pastor, they prayed the prayer. You're going to find me asking this kind of question. What is the fruit of their life? And when you say to me, well, they don't go to church, they don't read the Bible, they don't really care, I'm going to tell you they're lost. Well, you don't know their heart. I don't need to know their heart. I can't know their heart. Only God can know their heart. But you know what? Abraham was justified by faith before God and works before men. If any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. What happened in this woman's life? I want to show you what happens when someone gets saved. Number one, there's going to be fruit in the life of the sinner. Boy, her life changed. I'm going to show you how I know that to be true. Look at verse number 28. She left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? This was a woman who was an outcast. This was a woman who, with partnership with godless men, had destroyed countless marriages, and she had been married 5 times, was living in sin at the moment. I guarantee you, it probably went beyond that.
That's right. Come on.
She was a woman that was rejected, could not even gather with the other women due to the hurt and pain that had been caused and the anger that was present. Her life was a wreck. Her life was a ruin. And when Jesus called her out and said, man, you are wicked, repentance came to her life and changed it. Jesus changed her life. She got the new birth that Jesus talked about in John chapter 3. Life did not just go on. She didn't say, well, that's good to hear. You know what? Yeah, you are the Messiah. Fill her water pot up, take it back home, and just go about her life, did she? What happened?
Changed.
Life stopped. And it changed. She left the water pot there. And I don't want to read too much into this. She left the water pot there. She left off doing whatever she had planned for that day, and she went into that city. She went directly to the men and said, I've found Jesus. I've found the Christ. I've found the Messiah. And we'll talk about in a minute that her message changed. But her life changed. The direction of her life changed. Everything about her changed. And today we've got a lot of people who are kneeling and praying a prayer, but nothing ever changes. They just go on living like they always lived.
drinking the same things, going to the same places, watching the same things. But I'll tell you this, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
This woman got changed.
Amen.
I know that's not good English, but you'll forgive me. She changed. Her life changed. How do I know that? In verse 39, her community saw the change. Because in verse 39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. I don't know about you, but some godless sinner comes up to me with some message of truth, and it hasn't made a difference, a world of difference, or a whit of difference in their life, I'm not listening. There's this lifestyle gospel. You know, you just got to go to the bar and hang out with them, you know, and, you know, toss back a few, you know, and you know, you got to smoke pot with them to reach them, and you got to go out to the beach and, you know, let y'all hang out to reach them. I'll tell you what we got. We got to have a changed life, and we got to be new creatures. You know, to reach your friends, you know, reach your family is not trying to be their buddies, but living for God. I mean, love them. I'm not saying don't be mean or nasty. You know what I mean, right? But a lot of times, I remember this growing up. You know, my mom especially, you know, she loved her family. And boy, she wanted to just go along, get along, no matter what kind of foolishness they had going on, the drinking, the partying. That's not helping them.
No, it's not.
They're going to listen to your message? No. You're telling me that I need Jesus, that he's changed your life, but you live just like I do. I really believe this woman's life changed, and it's obvious because guess what? She went from someone who no one listened to really everyone hated because of her life, to someone that, right? People were believing because of what she said, because I think it made a difference in her. Number two, it changed her message, didn't it? This is a Proverbs 7 woman. Right, who stood by her, right? Stood by the door of her house, sat out the window of her house, watching for the young men, the foolish men to pass by, and was calling them in.
Right.
It went from that kind of message to what message? I found Jesus! Literally.
Amen.
I found Jesus! I found the Christ. I found the Messiah. He's told me everything I ever did. I've heard preachers say that really made the men nervous, right? Like, knowing kind of woman she was, so we better go see this old boy. You know what I mean? But more, her whole language changed. Her whole message changed. And that is the fruit of conversion. Not that you're perfect, not that you know, you're sinless, but man, your life will change. And that's the kind of gospel that is preached throughout Scripture. People call, well, that's a lordship gospel. That's lordship salvation. If you can get saved without Jesus being Lord of your life, then what kind of salvation is that? Certainly, you may not have given everything up. Certainly, there may be areas of your life that you need to grow and you need to repent of, and you, right? But if you can't come to, if you're saying, you know, I want Jesus and I want my immorality too. I want Jesus and I want my, right?
Amen.
Can't have it. That's repentance. It's a change of mind. You say, well, do you have to quit sinning to get saved? No. But you got to come to the place where your mind and heart change about it.
Amen.
Where you see your sin as, what, worthy of hell? Well, I'm not that bad. Wages of sin is death. Come on now. Repentance is basically the attitude, the heart attitude, which says, you know what, God? If you sent me to hell right now, you would be right and I deserve it. You got to have that mind. And that's a gift of God, that gift of repentance. And we see that in this woman's life. She had a changed life that was listened to by her community because what? Her message was listened to because she had a changed life. But number two, there's some other fruits. There's some fruit in the life of the soul winner. And this is where it gets exciting. I want you to notice the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 32. Now the disciples return and they're a little puzzled. Because this was quite unusual. Not only was it
Men didn't talk to women back then. You got to understand, men, right, women were subhuman in a lot of regards. Right? They were viewed right as lower, which is not scriptural, by the way. Some preachers, by the way, you're in a church and the pastor's making fun of women, making fun of his wife. I tease my wife sometimes, but I'm real careful. That's ignorance. You men, put yourselves in your wives' shoes. I'm gonna take a little detour here. Okay, ready? Where God says to you, Brother Rice, submit yourself to your spouse. Let them lead and make decisions for your home. How would you handle it? Amen or oh me, brother man. Hey now. Well, how would you want your spouse to respond? I'd want them to be in prayer. God, help me to make the right decisions. Oh, man, what a huge burden you've placed on me. Help me not to lead this family wrong. Yeah. You want them joking, mocking, no. Making fun of the role that God has given? That's ignorant. Yeah. Preacher, get up and... Well, man, you ought to be humble before God, that God put you in a position where He has asked this dear woman who's given up her life to follow you. You better be on your face before God, begging God. God, I'm going to mess this up if I don't have you. Not a joking thing. All right, that was free. Let's get back to the message. There was fruit, not just in the life of the person converted, the sinner, but there was fruit in the life of the soul winner. Look at Jesus. The disciples come back. They say, man, he's talking to this woman, but no one dared ask, what are you doing? Right? The woman left her water pot. She changes her message. So much so that people start to come out of the city to see what she said. In verse 31, in the mean, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Now you remember, how did Jesus come to the well? He came wearied. He'd been traveling all day. It was the heat of the day. I don't know about you. I'm hungry all the time. He had to be hungry. Right? He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin he suffered. He felt the same feelings that you and I felt. He felt hungry. And so they come, they say, what? Eat. And Jesus said what? Number one, I'll tell you what the fruit of conversion is going to take place in your life. You get serious about soul winning and God gives you souls. Here's what you're going to experience. Number one, you're going to have a greater fulfillment, joy, and excitement. Verse 32, Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He says, I'm not hungry anymore. I don't think I've ever heard one of my boys say that. I don't think I've ever said that. You ever come to a place where you just lost your appetite? There's two ways. Number one, great sorrow, right? Burden, heaviness, heart. I remember one time, I've told the story before. I used to make fun of people who have anxiety, panic attacks. I had one. I was so overwhelmed. I let it get to me. I wasn't trusting God. There was a lot of, anyway, not to get into it. I didn't eat for 2 weeks. I just didn't want eating. Thought eating made me sick. You know why? Because I was so anxious and sorrowful and just worked up. But there's another thing that'll cause you to lose your appetite. Not just that, but what? Excitement. Joy. Right? Focus. A greater purpose. I've had my boys play video games and not eat all day. I'm like, y'all eating? Oh. Yeah. Because to them, it was great. It was exciting. There was joy. And I'm not saying it's the right kind of joy, but do you get my point? Jesus here, God gave him a great opportunity. He sees this woman get saved. He knows what's about to happen. He knows she's going to the city and she's sharing the message and her life has changed and people are hearing and they're saying, you know what? We got to go see what this woman's talking about. And Jesus, filled with excitement, a new purpose, an idea that, you know what? I have fulfilled. Fulfillment. Our world is seeking fulfillment. A lot of Christians are aimlessly unanchored and getting themselves into things they shouldn't have any business doing because they're missing out on what God has called. The greater calling is what? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, I want to commend our church. I know tracts are being handed out. And I thank God for that. I know the gospel message is being given. But I'll tell you, there's more we can do. Amen?
Amen.
And not to gain favor with God, that is legalism. I want to share the gospel because I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's what He's asked me to do. And now, you know what? I want to express that love to Him.
Amen.
And the fruit of conversion, I'll tell you, you see someone get saved, it'll bring you a place to say, I want to do that again.
Amen.
It'll give you meat to eat that overcomes the physical needs that you have. We got folks, and I love you, some folks in church, man, everything's negative, everything's bad, everything's terrible, depressed, discouraged. You know what will help you? Get your eyes off yourself and get busy serving others. You sit at home, you sit there thinking about all your problems, all your troubles. You want to get your mind off of it? Throw yourself into serving. Throw yourself into winning souls. Throw yourself into say, you know what? Hey, guess what? If these are plaguing my mind, I'm going to grab me a stack of gospel tracts. I'm going to go hand them out and talk to people. Guess what? Your troubles, they don't leave, but man, you know what? Get your mind off yourself. There was greater fulfillment, there was greater joy, there was greater excitement. He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Number two, there's going to be a greater calling. In verse 34, he says, my meat, and he defines that meat, is to do the will of Him that sent me and to what? Finish His work. Now, I said earlier, and I don't think it was controversial, but we're on the internet, so everything's controversial. We have a greater calling. You know why church is essential? Because we are the pillar and ground of the truth. We have the words of life. We have what will save people from hell. And there is a fate worse than death. Guess what? You're going to probably get the coronavirus. I'm going to help you. It's going to happen. Do you get the flu? You ever gotten the flu? You're going to get the coronavirus. Oh, I'm just never going to leave my house. You're going to get it. All right? Now, don't be foolish. Don't be silly. Don't try to get it. We have a greater calling. I'm not going to cower in fear. Now I'm going to be smart. Hey, guess what? I'm wearing a mask. If I go outside to store stuff, I wear a mask. He's like,
yeah, it's the mark of the beast.
No, it's not. I do it because you know what? There are people that are bothered if I don't.
Right.
And I don't want to be a hindrance to them. I'm big enough to say I can do that. Now, I don't like it. I hate it. I really hate it. And you know what? I don't think it ought to be mandated. And you could say that. But guess what? I do it. Even if the store doesn't require it, I do it because I know there are people, if I want to give them a track and I don't have a mask on, they're never going to take it. Because I have a what?
I have a greater calling. And you have a greater calling. And that calling is to do the will of God, to be that soul winner that God desires us to be. I'm going to quickly finish up. There was greater vision that he received. He said, look, he said, say not he there yet 4 months then cometh to harvest.
I don't think he's using a parable here, I think literally it was not yet the time of harvest. He said, in 4 months, guess what? There's going to be a harvest. He says, I'm telling you now, there's a great harvest.
Lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are what? White, all ready to harvest.
And let me just paint a picture for you. Imagine with me Jesus standing by that well with his disciples gathered around. You got to think, you know, they've brought, you know, from the local Samaritan Walmart, you know, they got the Walmart bags and some bags of ice. And Jesus, we're ready for a picnic. And Jesus, like, I'm not hungry. And they're like, anyway. And Jesus, like, listen, I got something to eat. I got meat that you don't know of. I've got a greater calling here. And he says, you know what? You know that in 4 months there's going to be a harvest. I tell you right now, there's a harvest ready now. He says, lift up your eyes. And remember what took place. As the woman went into the city, she began to do what? She began to tell everybody. And the Bible says they began to come out of the city towards the well. Now imagine with me, you've got these two things going on. You've got these Samaritans, what? Coming out of the city, probably robed in white. You got the disciples gathered with Jesus trying to figure out why he's not hungry. And Jesus says, listen, there's something greater going on here that you got to see. Lift up your eyes and look. Here comes the harvest. As those Samaritans and that crowd of people begin to come out of that city toward the well, Jesus calls on the disciples, lift up your eyes. That's the meat. That's the calling. That's the purpose. He says, and you're going to get to reap something you didn't sow. You had nothing to do with this. But you're going to get to experience the blessings of seeing these people come to faith in me. Whew. Do you got vision this morning? So many Christians today were just so short-sighted. All we can look at is the bank account. I don't have my phone. Right? All we can think about is, oh, what's next this summer look like and our activities and our vacations. You can look at this building and say, oh, what fun activities are we going to have here? I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, you got to have greater vision. You got to have a vision of people being one to Jesus Christ and discipled and becoming a part of this New Testament body and being raised up and their kids and families being saved, right? Oh, man. You got to look around and you can look around and you can look at this apartment complex and say, oh, you know, just low-income people over here. And you can look over here and say, oh, the homeless over here. And you got the wrong vision, man. God put us here.
Amen.
I don't have time to go through the story because we're out of time. But God put Faith Baptist Church here.
Amen.
Lift your eyes up. Get a vision for the city of Arlington, for the city of Marysville, for Stanwood, for the right, for Everett. Amen. Someone has to reach them. I've been criticized. Aren't there churches already here? What are they doing? Honestly, if there had been a Bible preaching church that was actively out winning souls to Jesus Christ in Smoky Point in Arlington, I would have really hesitated coming here. But there isn't. Now, I know that's not popular, and I'm probably going to get people upset. They said to me, well, that's just not what we do. We don't just go out. Guess what? You're disobedient to the Word of God. Now I want to say to you, church, I love you. I talked about it last week. You men? We're going to raise the standard. You know a lot of churches are lowering the standards. How they dress, what they sing. We're going to raise the standard. And we're worshiping the God of heaven. I just watched my niece's, funeral. It was her wedding. I went to a funeral on Friday. Man, people are dressed to the nines. Why? It was an occasion. They were there to honor, right? There's this new family being created. And I'll tell you, I'm gonna encourage you. You say, oh, Pastor, you know, you're going to be a dictator. I'm not. I'm here to provoke you to love and good works. I'm good at provoking, by the way. Ask my kids. I try not to. Man, they can't leave me alone. But as your preacher, I got to push you. Would you expect anything different? If that's the kind of preacher you want, preachers come up here and give his little message and go home and collect his paycheck, then you know what? That's not me. I think a Bible preacher is doing what? He's pushing. He's encouraging. He's challenging. He's loving. I love you. You know that. Brother Matt, you know I love you and your family. Brother Robbie, you know I love you and your family. You do. But Barry, you know I love you and your wife. Come on, Devin, you know I love you.
Amen.
I do. That's why I push. Hey, let's get a vision. Amen. Thirdly, the fruit and the life of the community. I'm going to go quickly. Souls are saved. You know, it's exciting when people get born again. You know what? It makes a difference in the community because people start saying, what happened to so-and-so? Well, they got saved. And that's what happened here. This woman went into the community. They said, something's happened to her. She's not the same. And you know what? From her testimony, people started to believe. Souls started getting saved. Number two, saints began to gather. Those who began to believe began to get together and say, you know what? We need to worship together. And that's what took place. And thirdly, the Savior is proclaimed. You know what I want most for Arlington and North Marysville, the area God has placed this in? I want Jesus Christ to be proclaimed as Lord and Savior. I don't want Faith Baptist Church to be lifted up as anything but that. This is His church. This is His body. He is the Savior of the world. I talked about it a few weeks ago. When John said He must increase and I must decrease, guess what? I would love nothing better than Pastor Teasdale to just come a footnote. Who's the pastor? What does it matter? Who's the deacon? What does it matter? Jesus is Lord. He is Savior.
Amen.
Woo! That's the kind of church, and that's what's going to happen when people start getting saved, but you got to start by going out. You got to start by witnessing. And I'm all for organized soul winning and organized outreach, and we're going to continue to do it, and we're going to do more of it. But you better get you a handful of gospel tracts, and you better take time when you're there at the Walmarts or the Freddy's or the Target. By the way, it's Target. It's not Target. It's Target. It's high-end. Target. At the Goodwills and the Value Villages and the gas station and the co-op and the hardware store. Listen to me now. The Lowe's and the Home Depot and the Arlington Hardware. And you got a gospel tract, and you're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Because you got a greater calling, you got a greater vision to say, you know what? This area needs to be reached with the gospel. Lift up your eyes, the fields are what? White unto harvest. So now where are you? I love you. But I gotta be real honest with you. I gotta be honest with myself. I've been a little lazy about outreach. God forgive me. There's been many a time I've walked out of my house without a gospel tract. There's been many a time, even today. I'm going to be real honest. I went to Rite Aid, picked up some paper towels for the bathrooms. It got prompted in my heart to give that young man a tract, and I didn't. It's real. It's tough. I get it. I fail. You fail. But do we just roll over? Oh, man, we pick ourselves up and say, God, forgive me. I'm going to go back, give that young man a track after we're done here. Okay. Lord, I didn't do right then, but I'm going to go do my best now. You see? I love you. Let's get a vision for what God can do and make a Faith Baptist Church. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're not saved today, I call on you to receive the gospel, to repent and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Don't turn Him away. If you are a Christian today, I'm telling you, my friends, there's some great fruits, some great blessings that result from conversion, people getting saved. But it begins with us taking the opportunity to share the good news with every person God places into our path. To be faithful, to be obedient to that greater calling. Where are you? Maybe you've grown a little lax, lukewarm, unconcerned for souls. You ought to be on your face before the Lord Jesus saying, God, forgive me. I repent. I want to do what you called me to do. Father, I ask that you bless this time. Thank you for the opportunity in which you brought us together today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for making our church essential, Lord, a key part of this community. And may we not mock that. May we not, Lord,
may we take it seriously that Arlington needs Faith Baptist Church. Marysville needs Faith Baptist Church because we have the truth. We have the gospel. And people need to be saved because they're headed to a devil's hell. I pray for anyone today, Lord, that is lost. Lord, I pray they would respond to this invitation, whether during the invitation or afterwards. Lord, they would not put off their need to be saved any longer. We don't have a big invitation, but you, what I challenge people to do, if you're here today, if God has spoken to your heart, you can make an altar at your seat. You can make an altar up front. I don't care. Just speak to Him. Respond to Him. If you're not saved today, today is the day of salvation. You can come forward during the invitation. I'll meet you down front. If you want to talk to me after the service, I'll talk to you after service. Either way, I invite you to come to Christ today. Don't turn Him away. As the piano plays, if God has spoken to you, we're going to take a few minutes and now respond to Him. Father, we thank You for bringing us together this morning. Bless us, Father, as we go our separate ways this afternoon. Keep us safe. I pray that You would use the members of this church to make a difference and an impact in this community for the gospel. Lord, we're just lumps of clay. The only value that we bring is, Lord, the value that You give us. The only power that we have comes from Your Holy Spirit. And so we need You. We don't want to do this in our own strength and our own flesh because we'll fail, we'll fall flat on our face. And so I pray You would empower this church and the members of this church to do a great work for You. Help us to make a difference. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.